I only want to be his breath. I only need to catch my breath. And we'll be doing well. Wonderful song. Wonderful pace as well. Lively and wonderful. Reminds us of life and life in all of its fullness and abundance. If you have your Bibles with you, I wonder if you'd take them and turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, as we continue working our way through John's Gospel, so that we might see more of Jesus and learn more of him and what he would have to say to us through it. John chapter 15, and we'll read the first 8 verses together this morning. John 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Amen. And this is God's word to us this morning. Let's just bow our heads for a moment and quietly reflect on that as we ask the Lord to come and to speak to us this morning. Father God, we pray in the stillness that you would just open our ears and our eyes. We pray that we might see and we might hear new and wonderful truths from your word. We pray that you would encourage us and inspire us in these days to be fruitful for you. Father God, speak to each of us this morning, wherever we're coming from, whatever is going on in our lives. Father God, speak to us clearly, that we might know it's you, and not necessarily the words of the speaker, but it's you speaking clearly to each one of us. So Father God, come, speak to us now. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. On September 14th, 1898, at the Central Hotel of Boscobel, Wisconsin. There you go, there's a mouthful straight away. Boscobel, Wisconsin. John Nicholson arrived at 9 p.m. longing for a quiet room to write up his orders for the day. To his disappointment, every room was taken. The clerk at the desk suggested he share room 19 with a stranger called Samuel Hill. Before crawling into bed, Nicholson opened his Bible. At age 12, he had promised his dying mother that he would read the Bible every night at bedtime. "Read it aloud," Hill shouted from the other bed. "I'm a Christian too." Nicholson read John 15 together, and the two knelt for prayer. Then they stayed up till 2 a.m. in the morning discussing the spiritual needs of Christians on the road. Nicholson and Hill bumped into each other again the following May at Beaver Dam, Wisconsin this time. They soon announced a plan for an association of Christian salesmen and set the first meeting for July 1st, 1899. Only 3 men showed up, Nicholson, Hill, and another called Will J. Knights. The men nonetheless launched their organization to mobilize Christian commercial travelers for encouragement, for evangelism, and for service. They groped around for a name but couldn't find one. But then they prayed, and Knights said, "We shall be called Gideons." The Gideons have since distributed over 750 million copies of Scripture in over 170 nations. Having read John 15, they became fruitful for the Lord. And this morning, as we turn in our series in John's Gospel to that very same passage, those 3 men read together, John 15, we too will consider the theme of being fruitful for the Lord. Jesus is preparing his disciples, as we've already been thinking about in these last weeks, for his departure. He has just given them the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now he wants to challenge them about fruitfulness. An interesting thing to note as an overall message from this passage is that fruitfulness does not depend totally on us. In fact, it really doesn't depend much on us at all. It really is all about the Lord. Let me explain. A good gardener who grows fruit trees will nearly always have trees that produce good fruit and are fruitful. Not one of their fruit trees will struggle to bear fruit. These trees do not go to classes or seminars or workshops about fruit bearing. They don't read books about how to become fruitful. In fact, I don't think fruit trees ever even think about fruitfulness, if I'm totally honest. Their fruitfulness depends totally on the gardener. Totally on the gardener to make sure that they get the proper sunlight, the proper water, the proper fertilizer, and the proper pruning. Likewise, why is it that Christians go running around measuring the abundance of each other's fruit as well as their own, reading books on fruitfulness, when, to be honest, it's really none of their concern? Oh yes, I want to bear as much fruit as I possibly can for the glory of God, but the fruit of my life is his concern and not mine. My concern and our concern, hopefully, should be to make sure of just three things. That as a potential fruit-bearing branch, I am connected to the vine and keep that connection clean and unobstructed. That I submit, secondly, to the cultivation of the gardener or the vine dresser, which is all about his pruning in my life. And thirdly, that I communicate with him. It would be my heart's desire to communicate with him always. With that in mind, let us think about being fruitful for the Lord this morning. We begin with being fruitful through connection. We need connections in life. That's what everyone tells us, isn't it? At work, you need connections into various people in order that you might get on well, that you might climb that prosperous ladder within the workplace. We need connections in life to get on and to be accepted. We need connections in ministry to allow us to serve well and to fit well into the community. It's all about who you know. And while some of that sentiment makes us shiver, there is a great deal of truth underlying it. When it comes to living life as it was intended to be lived on earth, we need to be connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to have a relationship with him. When it comes to fruit bearing, that truth rings true. Fruit grows on a tree. It grows on the end of a branch, which in turn is connected to the vine or to the tree. If that branch is not connected to the vine, then it will not grow. It will only die and no fruit will come. And so Jesus is teaching his disciples here that they are to remain connected. He says that they are to be attached to the vine. Verse 2, Jesus says that branches that do not bear fruit are cut off and discarded. Branches that are fruitful are pruned in order to become even more fruitful. By the time you get to verse 6, we discover that a branch that is cut off and thrown away soon withers and soon dies. As it withers, it's thrown into the fire and it's burned. When a branch is not attached to the vine, it dies. Being attached is important, it's vital. Even although the branch bears the fruit, it doesn't produce the fruit. It needs to be attached to the vine. And so in life, we need to be attached to the Lord in order to be fruitful. Jesus begins that chapter in chapter 15 with the last of seven I am sayings that he said throughout John's gospel. He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. As a branch needs to be attached to the vine, so the Christian needs to be attached to the Lord Jesus, the first necessary step in order for us to be fruitful is to determine our personal relationship with Jesus. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Saviour? Have you been to the foot of the cross and recognised that Jesus died in your place? Have you recognised that you're a sinner? Have you asked for his forgiveness and cleansing? Have you invited Jesus into your life as Lord? Are you born again? and being born again, we become attached to the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes upon us and flows new life through us in new birth. Many people today are connected to the church in various ways. They come along to Sunday services. They may attend a Bible study. They may help out at some club or other. They may send their kids along to Sunday school or kids club. They may even have been brought up in the church. They may even pray with us and profess to be Christians. And yet there is no fruit in their lives. And that's because they are not attached to the vine. They are not in a personal relationship with Jesus. They are pretending. They are going through the motions. They think because they have some head knowledge, that is all that they need. Attached to the vine, one grows and strengthens. And so it's vitally important that we know Jesus and are in a relationship with him. If you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your own Lord and Savior, then that is the first step in becoming fruitful for him. You have to realize your need as a sinner for a Savior. You have to admit your guilt and your sin and ask him for forgiveness. You need to ask him to come into your life as Lord and Savior. And as part of that whole repentance process, you have to turn your life around and seek to live for him. Get attached. In connection, we have to be attached. But we also have to be abiding in the vine. Jesus uses the word many 8 times in those 8 verses. That's a Greek word there. To emphasize the importance of abiding in the vine. Many, of course, means to abide or to remain. Jesus says in verse 4 that we are to remain in him and he will remain in us. That word, meno, to remain, to abide, to stay, is a favored word in John's gospel. We first encounter it in John chapter 1 and verse 38 with the very first disciples, Andrew and we assume his beloved brother John. Jesus had pointed out to them by John the Baptist as the Lamb of God. They immediately leave everything, leave the Baptist and seek to follow Jesus. When Jesus noticed them, he asked what they wanted. And they asked him where he was remaining, where he was abiding, where he was staying. And he told them to come and to see, and they did. And they abided with him. They spent the night with him. By the time we get to John chapter 6 and verse 56, there are spiritual connotations to the word. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood, says Jesus, remains in me and I in him. And in John 14, where we looked at the other week, we encounter that word meno again. As Jesus informs his disciples that the Father remains and abides in him. So we are to remain in him. We are to abide with him. What does it mean to remain in Jesus though? Well, to abide means to stay where we are. The Christian has been placed in Christ. And in daily walk, then, we are to stay in fellowship with the Lord. A branch abides in the vine by drawing all its life and all its nourishment from the vine. So we abide in Christ by spending time in his presence. The nourishment comes from reading our Bibles and from learning of Jesus and his amazing love for us. It comes of reading God's word in its entirety from beginning to end so that we see God's redemptive plan at work from the very beginning to the very end. God's word shows us how to live our lives here on earth. It tells us how to be fruitful. As well as reading his word, we abide in him by praying to him as well. Any personal relationship is only furthered as we talk and get to know each other. So with our relationship with Jesus, we need to be talking to him. We need to be listening to him. We have to be spending time daily in prayer. Abiding in the vine is simply being with Jesus. As we abide in Jesus, we remain connected to him, and his Spirit flows through every part of our lives, our mind, our will, our emotions, as well as our words and our deeds. If we want to be fruitful, we do not need to concentrate on fruit bearing. We have to concentrate on our personal relationship with Jesus. And as we think in our personal relationship with Jesus, we have to be handing everything over to him. There's no point in trying to deal with everything myself. It's like saying to God, you can have my Sunday, but the rest of the week is mine. My work is mine. The stresses and strains of family life are mine. My pastimes and my leisure time are mine. You can have my Sunday, but that's it. Friends, if we are to abide in Jesus, we have to open up everything to Him. We have to allow Him to abide within us in every part of our lives. We become fruitful through connection. We have to be attached to the vine and abide in the vine in order to grow and to flourish. We also become fruitful, though, through cultivation. A fruit tree left to its own devices will not grow as it should or could. It has to be cut, clipped, and cleansed in order to grow larger and then bear more fruit. Jesus goes on to say in verse 2 that the Father cuts off every branch that does not bear fruit. A branch that is not producing a crop is hopeless. It's a waste of space and time. It's taking away valuable resources from the other branches on the vine. Some branches need to go in order for others to grow. At other times, cutting back involves taking off all of the dead wood or hardwood on a branch. We're not talking about clipping off a little bit here, but we're talking of taking off most of the branch. The cut leaves the connection to the vine, though. This might seem harsh, but it's the only way in the end for the branch to grow again and to be fruitful. You know, I once watched my dad in the garden. He's a keen gardener. I never quite grasped it. I like my garden, but I just never like getting in there and getting my hands dirty and doing it all the time. There are always other things that need to be done, but my dad was always in the garden. And I remember watching him this day go to a tree, and he cut it so far back that all that was left was just a little bit at the very bottom. And I remember looking at him saying, "Dad, why did you not just dig it out? You've ruined the thing anyway." And he said to me, "Hamish, watch. Watch over time and see what happens." And I laughed at him. And yet over time, what happened? The branches all began to grow back out of that tree. They grew back as new growth. And it became more fruitful than they ever were before. It was amazing to see. And sometimes in our Christian lives, that is what God does to us. He cuts back everything in our life in order that we can see Jesus clearly once more and not everything else that crowds around our lives. In life, we get caught up in so many things that we forget about Jesus. We begin to think that we can do it all ourselves. The truth is, we can't. We think we can, and so we leave Jesus out. The Father cuts back the other things in our lives so that we can see Jesus again. This is hard. It's difficult. Have you been in a place where God has taken everything back to the core in your life? It's not pleasant. It can so easily destroy us, but it doesn't. It enables us to see Jesus again and to grow again in our relationship with Him. We become fruitful through cultivation. At other times, cutting back is not required, but a little clipping here and there is. Jesus goes on to say in verse 2 that while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will become even more fruitful. A skill I've not mastered yet, mainly because I'm lazy and don't make the time for it, is to prune back the plants in the garden. When a beautiful flower begins to fade and die, it's important to peel it off so that another flower can grow up in its place. This way your plant flowers for longer and gives you much pleasure, as well as aiding growth. Pruning also helps to shape the plant as well. God is the vine dresser. God is the gardener. Does just that with our lives. He prunes us in order that we can flower for longer. He prunes us that we become more fruitful for Him. He prunes back the areas of our lives in order to shape us as we grow. When I pray for patience, and God puts me alongside a very demanding person, I can almost hear his clippers, clip, clip. When I pray for obedience, and God sends something really difficult and trying, I hear that clip, clip. When I pray for money, and God sends a big request for financial help somewhere else, clip, clip, clip. When I pray for faith, and then something hard comes into my life, I can almost hear the sound of the Father's clippers, clip, clip. God uses His shears to clip away at our lives in order to shape us and to help us to grow and to become more fruitful for Him. It is hard and it's tough at times, but it's vital that it's done. We become fruitful through cultivation. Jesus goes on to say in verse 3, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." Cultivation sometimes means cleansing. One of the biggest threats to a good crop is insects and disease. The parasites eat away at the fruit until it becomes infected and dies. It's a blight that attacks the branches and the fruit, and so in the lives of human beings. Sin is the biggest blight to affect us. Sin obstructs the flow of the Holy Spirit. Sin blocks our relationship with the Father. Jesus speaks of needing to confront sin in our lives and to deal with it. He said to his disciples that they were already clean because of his word. They had placed their faith in him, and so they were cleansed. We too, when we come to accept that we are sinners and accept Christ as Lord, ask for his forgiveness, we are cleansed and renewed. We continue to be cleansed every day as we read his word and apply it to our lives. We are cleansed as we obey that word and live it out in practice. But sin still blights our lives. Sin still trips us up and traps us. We have to remember to keep confessing our sin to God. John says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all unrighteousness. He will cleanse us afresh. And that is part of the cultivation process. So friends, what sin is holding you back this morning in your walk with God? Confess it to him now. Seek his forgiveness. We become fruitful through connection and through cultivation. And finally, and very briefly, we become fruitful through communication. Jesus said in verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. He instructs his disciples to abide in him always and to let his words abide in them. And that is a call for each one of us today as well. We are to abide in Jesus. We're not to get so caught up in things that take over our lives and squeeze him out. We are to abide in him and him alone. We are also to allow his words to abide within us. We are to keep reading and learning from scripture. We are to memorize that word so it remains with us in those tough times as we live for Jesus. Then we become fruitful. And of course Jesus says, as you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you want. We become fruitful through communication. Jesus communicates his words to us, and we keep them alive and active in our minds and in our lives. Communication works as we listen, but also as we ask and talk. Jesus is encouraging his disciples to talk to him, to ask him for the desires of their hearts. The Bible teaches in Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. In order to become fruitful, we need to ask the Lord. We have to communicate with him. We have to allow him to communicate with us. And lest you think I'm teaching something else here, I'm not teaching a prosperity gospel. We do not come to God and ask him for a new car, a new house, and lots of money, and like some genie out of a bottle, he gives it to us. I'm talking about a desire in our hearts to be fruitful for him. And that, I think, is what Jesus is saying here. If you need strength to go out and to share the gospel, then ask him for it. If you need the words to speak to share the love of Jesus, then ask for it. If you want an opportunity to share the gospel this week, then ask Jesus for it, and he will give it to you. We become fruitful through connection. And so this morning, I want to encourage us all to be fruitful for the Lord. In order to be fruitful, we have to be connected to the Lord. We do that by being attached to him, by abiding in him always. There are times we have to be cultivated, and that comes about at times as our gardener, our Father in heaven, does some cutting, some clipping, some cleansing of us. And of course we become fruitful through communication as well. If you want to be fruitful for the Lord, then ask him. Ask him to give you an opportunity to share his love and to give you the words to use. In all things, stay connected to the vine. Stay connected to Jesus. Abide in him always. Pray for fruit this week and pray to be used by the Lord Jesus. Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, we want to thank you once more for your word. We thank you for that word that's there to encourage us, that word that's there to teach us, that word that's there to challenge us at times as well. And Father God, we realize there are trying and difficult times in our lives. But sometimes, Father God, they come about because you're trying to prune us and to shape us and to make us into the people you want us to be. Sometimes they come because you're wanting to make us more fruitful in our service for you. And Father God, we need to remember that's nothing about us. It's all about you. The fruit on the end of the branch comes because of the life-giving nourishment that comes from the vine. And so in us, Father God, all of that comes from us abiding in Jesus. Help us to do that more and more each day. Help us to throw away the things that would take us away from doing that. Help us to live for you day in and day out always. Help us to remain in you. Father God, help us to learn from this word. Help us to recall it again to our minds later on today and to read through that passage again. Help us to think through what you're saying to us individually and corporately as a church. And Father God, help us always simply to abide in you always. That is a real heart's desire. Lord, make that a reality for each one of us, we pray. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.